Who has influenced you greatly in your faith? Often, it's not their wealth or their fame that stands out, but their humility and genuine concern for others. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he highlighted their faith, love, and steadfast hope. These virtues not only impacted Paul, but also set a powerful example for all believers. Today, Stephen will teach you more in a lesson called Influencers and Trendsetters for Believers.
When you think of people who've had a great influence on you, what is it about them that comes to your mind? Is it some wise counsel they offered you, or maybe some friendly words of encouragement? I remember being greatly impacted by a renowned theologian telling me that he prayed for me every day, and I remember being surprised and encouraged when a well-known missionary statesman, in fact, the president of his missions organization, asked me about my wife and children, and he even knew their names. What identifies the people who have the greatest influence on us isn't their wealth or their fame. It's their humility, their kindness, and concern. Now, when the Apostle Paul wrote this letter, his first letter to the Thessalonian church, he didn't begin by rehearsing doctrinal truths, but rather his own memories of how they had influenced and encouraged his own life. In fact, he holds them up today as a model for us all. Now, 1 Thessalonians opens with Paul's typical comments, always including his colleagues in sending greetings. Here in verse 1, Paul mentions Silvanus and Timothy, who were currently serving with him. Silvanus is another name for Silas. Silas had helped Paul establish this church in Thessalonica, according to Acts chapter 17. Timothy had also traveled with them. In fact, we're going to learn later on in chapter 3 that Timothy had recently visited this church and then reported back to the Apostle Paul. Now, Thessalonica, or as we could pronounce it today, Thessaloniki, is located on the Greek peninsula in a province that used to be called Macedonia. Now, we don't know how long this missionary team had spent there, but we do know that they were eventually run out of town by the enemies of the gospel. But in spite of opposition, they had planted this thriving church made up of Gentiles along with some Jews. Now, Paul is writing this letter to them from Corinth. That's where he's serving with Silas and Timothy by his side. We learn that from Acts chapter 18. Well, now with that, Paul mentions his prayers for this church here in verse 2. Paul was no longer with them, but his ministry to them wasn't over, and I'm sure it was incredibly encouraging to learn that, well, this great theologian, this missionary statesman, was praying for them every single day. Well, let me just stop here long enough to tell you, beloved, encouraging others is a ministry we can all engage in. It doesn't take much time to write a note or share some encouraging words with others, and we ought to add people to our prayer list and then remember them by name. Now, Paul writes here about their godly influence. In verse 3, he recalls their work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So here you have it, faith, hope, and love. Talk about an example of Christ-like virtues. No wonder the Thessalonian Christians impacted the heart and life of the Apostle Paul. Now, he writes here that their faith wasn't just some intellectual commitment. It was active. He calls it the work of faith. In other words, their faith was producing godly works. The same thing is true of their love. Paul calls it here the labor of love. So love wasn't just a warm feeling. True love was action. Their love here is labor, it's effort on behalf of others. Then their hope, he calls it here, steadfastness. You see, their hope, like yours and mine, isn't some kind of wish upon a star. Biblical hope is assurance based on God's promises. Our assurance in God's promises produces steadfastness in life. Now, this is concrete evidence that the believers in Thessalonica were chosen by God, they were redeemed, but they were also ready to live out the gospel. In fact, Paul writes here in verse 5, "Our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Now, I personally think these believers would be blushing a little bit here upon receiving this kind of high praise from the Apostle Paul. They probably had no idea that their example had traveled so far and wide. And let me tell you, beloved, you have no idea who's watching your life today. You are an influencer more than you know. You're being watched, perhaps even copied, by some younger believers even now. I remember a couple sent me a story about their 3-year-old daughter. They'd been teaching her how to pray in Jesus' name and why that was so important. They were teaching her the broader principle that everything we do ought to be in Jesus' name, that is, approved by Jesus. Well, this little girl didn't grasp the concept, evidently, because one afternoon her mother told her to pick up her toys, and she said no. Well, after some back and forth, the little girl looked up at her mother and said, "In Jesus' name, no." Well, I'm sure they had a little theology lesson on prayer and obedience right then and there. But when we do everything in Jesus' name, we're going to do the right thing, aren't we? And people who are watching us will do the same. Now, Paul makes an interesting comment here in the last part of verse 5. He writes, "You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake." Now, evidently, there were some people who were accusing Paul and his colleagues of being the wrong kind of example, and Paul's going to defend himself against these false charges later on in chapter 2. But for now, he wants the Thessalonian Christians to remember the truth, to remember how he and his team members had conducted themselves with integrity and humility. Now, with that, Paul refers again to the testimony of this particular faithful church. He tells them here in verse 8, "Your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything." In other words, he's saying that their testimony speaks for itself. Paul isn't the only one who's noticed. Word is spread. In fact, Paul writes here in verse 9 that it's known far and wide how these Thessalonians, he writes, turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. The Greek word Paul uses here for them serving God is the word for serving as a slave. See, these believers had been freed from the chains of pagan idolatry. They now recognize the Lord as their true master, and now they're committed to Jesus as his slaves. Beloved, these believers, they didn't just get a little religion, so to speak. They aren't trying Jesus for a little while to see if he pays off. No, they were slaves, servants of a new master. In fact, Paul writes here in verse 10 that they were now waiting for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So they not only believed that Jesus was the resurrected Lord, they believed he was their returning Lord. Jesus is coming back. Don't overlook the warning here as well as the promise. Paul mentions here that when Jesus returns, he's going to rescue the church from the wrath to come. This is the promise of what theologians call a pre-tribulation rapture. Paul is going to describe the timeline later on in this letter, but for now, we can say that the Lord's return is in two phases. The first phase is when he comes for his church and raptures us away before the tribulation period begins. This is a pre-tribulation rapture view. That is, after the rapture, then the wrath of God begins to fall upon the human race, as described in Revelation chapter 6. Now, the second phase of the Lord's return occurs at the end of the tribulation. He's not coming for us then. Revelation 19 shows that he's coming with us. And at that time, Jesus comes all the way down to earth, and he sets up his glorious millennial kingdom with Jerusalem as his capital city. So we who follow him today are given this promise in verse 10. We will be delivered from the wrath to come. The Thessalonians weren't waiting to meet the Antichrist. They were looking for the return of Christ. Well, let's live like them, serving Christ, anticipating his return. And when we do that, here's what happens. We're the right kind of influencers, the right kind of trendsetters for those who are watching us today. Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is the Wisdom Journey. Paul praised the Thessalonians for their active faith, labor of love, and steadfast hope. These believers didn't just hear the gospel, they lived it out, influencing others far and wide. Their example demonstrates that you too can make a significant impact by living out your faith with integrity and love. As you anticipate the return of Christ, commit to serving Him faithfully and influencing others through your actions and words. Remember, you are being watched and can be a positive influence. This Wisdom Journey is produced by Wisdom International. Stephen developed this ministry to help you know what the Bible says, understand what it means, and apply it to your life. I hope you're finding that to be true. Do you have a need or concern in your life and you'd like to have someone pray for you? We have a team of people who pray by name for every request that comes into our ministry. We'd be honored to pray for you. We have a special place on our website where you can send your request, and it'll go directly to our prayer team. If you navigate to wisdomonline.org/prayer, you'll find a form. Simply fill out the information, send us your request, and know that we'll be praying for you by name. Some people prefer a more personal touch. If you'd like to provide your phone number, we have a person who will call you and pray with you over the phone. Either way, how can we pray for you? Let us know. Even if you don't have a prayer need right now, please visit that page and learn how you can pray for us. I invite you to join our global prayer team and pray for us regularly. Stephen's lessons are being accessed in over 150 countries each week. And so, each week, we take the time to pray for one of those countries. We're asking God to use the power of His Word to change lives worldwide. We send an email each week with specific ways that you can pray for our ministry and for the country of the week. When you visit that webpage, wisdomonline.org/prayer, you can sign up and join our global prayer team. I hope you'll do that. Join us next time on the Wisdom Journey.